Hello, guys, and welcome back to another edition of the Gamma Ray Podcast. I'm Tim, alongside Justin.
How's it going, everybody?
Okay, guys, and this week we are wrapping up our vampire series with Vampires Part 2.
Yeah.
There's a lot of info on this, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. I thoroughly enjoyed this one.
Yeah. This one is more, a little bit more of some history, I think, about where vampires, how they entered into our pop culture and stuff like that.
And yeah. This is definitely not... I mean, it's dark this time around.
It's everywhere now, man.
Yeah.
Vampires. I mean, I just watched Morbius. You know what I mean? Which is just like...
I liked it personally.
Okay. It was okay.
But that's because I liked Matt Smith. I've liked him ever since he was the Doctor.
Oh, Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, I haven't reached that level of nerddom to know who all the Doctors are.
Oh, if you want, I can give you a rundown of them all.
No, I think I'll be okay. I'll do some independent research on that when I reach the bottom.
The rock bottom
nerd. So, I mean, I think the one guy, though, stands above the rest as a person who is synonymous with vampires, right, throughout history.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, we're talking about Vlad Tepes or Vlad the Impaler or Vlad
Dracul.
Dracula, you know, which I think it was he took that from his dad, I believe.
Yeah,
that was like his moniker.
Yeah, I think his father took that name when he joined the Order of the Dragon.
That's right. Yeah, that's correct. Yes,
with the church.
That's correct.
And they were fighting the Ottomans.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of we're not going to go into like a deep dive on Vlad because I think a lot of people probably know the gist. Of his story,
is that fair to say? It's pretty, yeah. I mean, he's a pretty well-known historical figure, dude. I mean, like you.
Yeah, he is, and an ugly motherfucker on top of it, from what I saw. Which is always seems to be with anybody that's in power,
especially back then.
Yeah, I mean, he was born in Romania in 1428 AD, so this is fucking hella long time ago. Very long time ago, and he lived to 1476, 1477 ballpark.
Yeah, give or take.
Well, you know, records weren't that great back then. Yeah. So I'm sure there's a lot of like he might have been born around this time, and he might have been killed around this time or died around this time, because who knows? Who knows? And he was the ruler of, and there's no way I'm going to say this right, so forgive me, Wallachia.
I think it's Wallachia.
Wallachia?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Wallachia.
It was a principality his father inherited.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, it was in Romania, which that's where everything's going to take place. And the thing that I didn't really know starting out is that he's actually considered a hero in Romania.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's actually kind of... strange, like when you think about it,
yeah,
like who he is as a person.
Well, yeah, I mean, and then just the stories about him, you're like, oh my god, this guy must have been like a tyrannical leader.
No, apparently not to the Romanians, anyways.
Yeah, because I mean, you hear his stories, man, you're like, god, this guy must have been an absolute monster.
Well, the thing you got to remember about Vlad, right,
mm-hmm.
is that everything he did was to protect his country,
right. That's
he
fair.
Had to be so brutal and so just diabolical to the outside world.
Yeah.
Because when it came between the church and the Ottoman Empire, Romania was like a battleground.
Right.
Like either the church came through and took people and killed people as they were going to the Ottomans, or the Ottomans turned around and did the same exact thing.
Right.
So he had to put some fear in some leaders.
It's funny to me that you know so much about this, but like when we were talking last week about like stuff that your wife likes, like you had no idea what the information was.
Hey, you know, I pick and choose what I.
But you can talk about this in paragraphs.
Oh yeah, I can go into a lot more detail than what we're going to today.
Right. I mean, so he was one of the most important rulers in Romanian history, which I don't know how many. great Romanian leaders there are anyway. He's the only one I've ever heard of.
And as good as mine.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, though, during his reign, his enemies would consider him to be a brutal and deadly opponent, right? And that was probably due to, you know, like, if your army isn't that formidable or that large, you have to kind of strike fear somehow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so being vicious is a good way of doing that.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, there was rumors, I guess not even rumors, I guess history, when his armies would retreat, they'd leave behind bodies of the enemies staked along the way.
Yeah.
So they, you know, as they were chasing them, they would just see like, oh, hey, there's John as they're marching by him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't a good time if you went up against Vlad.
No, I mean, stories of his cruelty to prisoners was renowned, especially at the time. As you said, he would impale his enemies on large pikes, sometimes starting from the butt to the mouth. Like that's.
Oh, yeah. But there was horrible. Rumors of it was, him it was doing
slow
it.
Slow, too.
There's rumors of him turning the spike around. So you wouldn't get the sharp end shoved up your ass. You'd get the dull end shoved up your ass.
Mm.
It'll take even longer to kill.
Yeah, some of these folks took a couple days to die.
Yeah.
That's how horrific this was. I mean, I'd much rather at that time have like just like cut my fucking head off, man.
Yeah, like, stab me in the gut, something. At least I'll die faster.
That's a lot better than the alternative here. And it was a means to, you know, like frighten enemy attackers or would-be attackers.
Yeah, because like, man, country was if so we better small.
Win, we better win.
Or this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, or else this is going to be really fucking bad. Like, this is going to be a really horrible, horrible torture. I mean, it was said that he was responsible for impaling over 20,000 people. 20,000.
Yeah. That's not a small number.
No, like, that's a lot.
That's a lot of dedication. That's dedication. Super
big number, man.
Dude, that is dedication.
There must have been no trees left.
Within 100 miles, every single one of them were cut down.
And to get, oh, I mean, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, man. That is intense. 20,000 people impaled. He was also rumored to be responsible for killing 60,000 other people. I mean, granted, it's war.
Yeah, but war back then, it's not like they had millions of people on this side and millions of people on that side. Right.
So, yeah, 60,000 is a large
number. Dude, that's killing farmers, everybody, you know, when you run into a crap, you know.
I think the city I live in has like 60,000 people.
Yeah. he killed your entire city, essentially.
Correct. I mean, it's really, really, really bad, man. And to have that many, man, is just crazy. Can you imagine what that must have looked like?
No.
That's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's insane. Yeah, that's a level that...
man, that
must have been a sight. History hasn't seen stuff like that before.
Yeah, that must have been a sight. He was rumored... You know, this is a lot of rumor, a lot of speculation here, right? Because of who knows if they're still...
Demonizing, too.
Yeah, yeah, and it could have been some propaganda, some of the stories about him, you know. But he was rumored to dine amongst the impaled enemies and then dip the bread that he was eating for dinner in their blood and then eat it. And yeah, I think that's where a lot of, and I'm just speculating, but I would imagine that that's where like the drinking blood aspect of a vampire might come from.
Yeah, like kind of solidified him as a vampire.
Right.
Because he would do that with dignitaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. When somebody else's messenger or account or something like that would come to visit him.
Right.
He would bring them out and he'd have a field of impaled bodies.
So there was one, like, I believe it was the Ottomans that, and I might just be paraphrasing, so it might not be totally accurate, this one, but that a couple of the like messenger people showed up and they had, you know, like their hats on that was, you know, part of their religion.
Yeah.
And because they wouldn't take it off out of respect, he nailed it to their skull.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing a story about that.
Yeah, that's in fucking tense.
Yeah. Well, see, that's really intense. That's another part of it, of just like, he was setting the grounds of, when you come here, you do as I say and when I say it.
Yeah. But because, that's kind of tyrannical.
Yeah, but he was only doing it, like I said, because
the enemies.
If he didn't do it,
yeah,
they would be, they'd just be trampled over. Because that's the bad part about Romania,
right?
Was that they switched sides a lot during the wars between the church and the Ottoman Empire. One year, they favor the church, so they'd have to send their sons and their husbands to fight for the church.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, they'd be working with the Ottomans.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have to send their sons and their husbands to the Ottomans to fight.
Right.
So the only way for him to be able to really be like, no, this is done, is do shit like this.
Right. I think it was Seinfeld that said, the Ottoman Empire, what is this, an empire all about putting your feet up? He's so stupid. I don't know, it made me laugh when I first heard it, though. It made me think about this. So, you know, there's a lot of fighting, a lot of battles, a fucking ton of people impaled. They're like, God, dude, I must just stink of that. Must have been, like, mind-blowing.
Yeah.
You know? God, like, man.
You know, and that's 100 people, you know, in one little field rotting.
Dude, and there's the level of disease, too, that they didn't know about. You know?
Yeah, they had no idea what the hell.
Oh, my goodness, man. So he was captured in 1462 by Hungarians. And he was there for a while, I believe around 10 to 15 years, they had him captured. And he was released for some reason.
And he took back his principality.
Right. And then, but he ended up dying in battle alongside Hungarians that captured him. But at that point, he made an alliance with them to fight the Ottomans because they were getting a little out of control.
Yeah.
And they were trying to take over everything at that point. So according to legend, again, because none of this is concrete, right? Stories being this old, that he was decapitated and had his head brought through the streets of Constantinople. And that is pretty common, I feel like they did back then. Because you hear about like William Wallace and stuff, you know what I mean? Like they did that.
Yeah, they decapitate him and like put the head on a stick for their allies to see.
Right. And the enemies too.
Yeah.
You know? So it's,
well, I meant like the allies of the person they killed.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. And the because of all these stories though, you know, he became like this larger than life figure.
Yeah.
You know, and again, some of this is like could have been true. Who knows? I mean, I don't think he like was dipping his bread in blood. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think he was doing that. But like a cool story. He wouldn't have been above putting that kind of stuff out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As you know, here's what happens when you start fucking with us. Yeah. I will literally drink your blood.
Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna have some sort of like I'm a horrible monster propaganda, that's blood drinking is a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. Yeah, but because of all these stories and stuff, he became the main inspiration for Bram Stoker.
Yeah.
Right. And if you don't know who Bram Stoker is, you should probably know that. Even at if you're point, not into like the supernatural kind of stuff.
You don't have to read the book.
He's a pretty famous author.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You didn't even have to see the movie.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, with Keanu Reeves and...
Yeah, but still, I mean, like, you should know who that is.
Winona Ryder, I think, was in it.
Yeah, then I can't remember who else was
in it. Oh, it was Commissioner Gordon.
Oh, what the hell is his name?
Played him. I don't know.
I can't remember his name.
Al Pacino. Oh.
No. Al Pacino did not play Dracula.
Okay. It wasn't him.
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. Yes, that's right.
Jesus Christ, dude. Fucking Al Pacino. God, like, we got this brutal figure, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, we just talked about him, Bram Stoker, Irish writer.
Right.
Set out to write a classic horror movie. A movie.
I don't think he was writing movies.
No, he was not. He was writing a novel.
Right.
In 1897.
Writing movies in 1897, he's a fucking time traveler.
He was just way ahead of his time.
Dude. Or he's like Notre Dame.
Yeah, he's a visionary. Is what
they're going to love this in 1995.
Yeah.
Good God.
No, but in 1897, though, he wrote Dracula.
Okay. Which the name stems from Vlad.
Yeah.
And the Order of the Dragon.
Yeah. Now, funny note on this was that Bram was always going to have a count as his vampire.
Right.
He settled on Dracula before he even finished the title of the book.
Oh, really?
Before he finished writing it.
Right.
He settled on Dracula after hearing about his exploits and like reading about it.
Right.
So he was always going to be a count. It just so happened to be that.
Right.
And Dracula he pulled the inspiration from Dracula after you heard about it.
Is that where the Transylvania thing comes from too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I think. Just put that out there in case anyone didn't know about that.
Yeah. Dracula based on a true story.
Yeah. In case anyone didn't know. No, this story though, man, it's told through various means, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. You got diary entries, you got letters, and you got newspaper articles.
Yeah, see, like, I am going to admit that I've never read the book.
Same here. I've seen the movie. I've never read the book.
So I had no idea that it was written like that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I assumed it was
like a chronological. Yeah. Like straightforward.
No.
Kind of not
regular novel.
Regular, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know it was told through various different media.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, obviously, dude, you know, this book has became the pinnacle of vampire lore.
For sure.
It's what made vampires as infamous as they are.
I mean.
Or at the very least, not even close. A strong foundation.
That's not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still the go-to.
Yeah, I mean, when you say name a vampire, the first one you're going to go to is Dracula. You're not going to go to Carmilla.
You know? I don't even know who that is.
She's another famous vampire was written about before Dracula was even written.
Oh, okay.
She's also like a pretty famous vampire in general. Like, have you ever watched or read the Vampire Hunter D?
Yeah.
She's in that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. She's like,
it's been a long, long time since I've seen it.
Yeah. She's not as big as I think that maybe she should be.
Right. Yeah, because I've never
She's kind of making an appearance here and there. Like, she's in New Castlevania animated on Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that either.
Yeah. She was pretty badass in her own right, too, honestly.
Right.
But, you know, the book Dracula, you know, wasn't the first story to touch upon vampires. And that's...
Okay.
Last episode, we talked about vampires went back...
thousands of years,
hundreds of generations before this ever came out.
Right.
So there's actually a couple, like, you know, there's some books and some poems there, and one of them came out in 1748.
Okay.
The poem written by Heinrich August Ossenfelder.
Simply called. Damn, that's a mouthful.
Yeah,
that's a rough name.
I might be pronouncing that last one. I know it got Heinrich right. But it was simply called Vampire, right? Pretty straightforward.
At least he kept it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right in your face.
In this story, a man visits a woman who is rejected by him. Who rejected him. And in the night...
I can relate.
I think we all can. In the night, he comes to her to drink her blood and give her the vampire's kiss.
Ooh.
So that would essentially, to me, like, I read the poem. It kind of seems like he turned her into one.
As like revenge.
Yeah, because that's like, you know, oh, you're not okay. Well, here you go. Right. Now you're damned.
Right. That sounds like a dude.
Yeah. It sounds like a very dude thing to do.
Right.
It's not a very long poem.
Thank God.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to read, honestly.
A lot of this shit from the from these old timey plays and poems is tough to read. Like, I just read War of the Worlds a couple months ago. And, you know, of course, I've seen the movies and stuff. But reading it is a challenge, some of these. You mean, because you're like, you don't understand some of the references and some of the words they're using.
It's the time period. It's,
yeah. It's a rough read. It's like reading Shakespeare. It's fucking...
Especially the poem tough. Was... I'm sure it makes more sense. And I think it came out in German.
Okay.
It was translated in English.
Then
again, you still got to understand, like, you know, the word structure was different and the sentence structure. And
right.
Yeah, it's just hard. It's hard to read.
Yeah. It's no fucking fun.
All right. Dude, later on, though, right? In 1819, the vampire, right? Okay. Vampire with a Y.
Okay. I like that better. As I said before, I do like it better.
The vampire.
Vampire.
Yeah. Yeah, Vampire. It was written by a John William Polliter.
Okay.
Polliter. And it's considered the first time that vampires were depicted as being romantic figures instead of just being a monster.
Great. So in 1819 is when the vampire was fucking ruined. Got it.
Yeah. This is the time frame when they go from being like the Nosferatu-looking creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And they start becoming like aristocrats and they start becoming more like Casanovas almost.
Yeah, like fancy.
Yeah.
Fancy pants.
Yeah, this is when they start like tracking individual people, not just killing indiscriminately.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And then in 1845, this is actually cool. I didn't know about this until I started looking this up.
Right.
Was this thing called Varney the Vampire. Which hilarious name.
Is it like a Saturday morning like kid show? Like,
okay. Written and released and was hailed as a landmark Victorian age Gothic horror story.
Classical kind of vampire thinking.
Yeah.
Of what they were like and how they lived their lives and stuff.
Well, it was published in this stuff that was called Penny Dreadfuls.
Oh, okay, cool.
And they were like pamphlets and like short stories that were super gruesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I assume they cost a penny. Them. Yeah.
I'm assuming so.
Right.
By the name. And people loved them back then.
They're cool. It's a cool name for like a. I'm going to go pick up this week's Penny Dreadful.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. They were actually. I didn't know. I've heard of Penny Dreadful before. I didn't know that's what they were.
I knew it. I know the term from the show, Penny Dreadful.
Yeah, I've seen parts of the show, but I've never actually.
That's
I didn't know what it was about.
That's the only time I've ever heard the name. I had no idea that it was like stories and stuff. Which now, after learning this, the show's title makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah. Yeah. They were just like these little tiny stories that you can get it weekly or monthly. Right. I don't know when they
came out. I just thought it was some fucking British term that, as an American, I was never going to put an ounce of effort into understanding.
No, I don't.
I mean, not a single ounce. Not on. We're recording this on July 4th. I don't fucking think so.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at some British shit.
But fuck you, Britain. Hey?
Not today.
Not today.
You limey motherfuckers.
Anyways, dude, like getting out of the books though, right?
I'm just saying, if you look up English British shit on 4th of July, they win.
Get out of my country.
They win. They finally won.
They won. Dude, in 1820 though.
Okay.
The Vampire or Bride of the Isles was put on stage, and this was the first time that vampires were portrayed as sophisticated, light, and like an air of nobility to them.
Okay.
So this would have been the first time outside of the books, clearly.
Right.
where people could start seeing them as more than just monsters.
Okay. So like, they're like kind of piggybacking off each other.
Yeah.
Like 1819. Well, that was a book. Yeah, that was a book. So this like, is a play, like I said, right?
Yeah. This was right on. Yeah, this was a play. Sorry, I should probably. This was like when people finally got to start, because not everyone could read back then either. Well, it's true.
Fucking sons of bitches.
It's not a lie.
God bless them.
But, you know, in more modern times, though, you know, I mean, we're more used to works of like Anne Rice and right. Lestat,
sure. I think he's right up there with Dracula as like the most famous fictional vampires.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. Maybe not now. Maybe like Morbius might be out there because people are, you know what I mean, horny for the superhero stuff. Blade.
Yeah, true. Blade, you know.
Blade's up there. But as far as like literary.
If this would have been in the 90s, people probably would have said Lestat more than even Dracula.
That was kind of the pinnacle
when Interview with the Vampire came out.
That's pinnacle, yeah, when those books I think came out, or at least the movie.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to hate on. I still like it. I said it last episode. I'll say it again. I enjoyed Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, it's been a really long time since I've seen it. I'm definitely going to have to go see it again.
Well, I'm not reading the fucking book, I can tell you that. So.
No, I don't blame you at all. Yeah, and of course, that kind of is more the modern version of vampires now.
Right, mm-hmm. But it's still kind of Victorian in a way.
Yeah, because they're Victorian, like they're all dressed in Victorian era clothes.
Right.
Like in the book and in the movie.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it didn't change that much. It just more when they got to, I think it was the 80s. When that book took place, like the more when he was telling the story, I think it was in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I don't remember the time frame.
Yeah. I'm going off the movie because I've never read the book, and I'm going to admit that I have not read the book.
I don't plan on reading
it. I've never held the book in my hands. You know what I mean? I've never even seen it.
I didn't even know it was a book. I knew it was a movie.
You didn't know it was a book?
It was like 15 years before I knew it was a book.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, I never knew. I just assumed it was a damn movie, man. What went on with my life.
That is out of it. Okay. Throughout the ages, though, there have been many accounts of the vampire, right? And encounters with them. This is real life stories. Like, these are things that are supposed to have happened, not in books, not in plays or poems, but real people, real situations.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I mean, for instance, though, I mean, creatures that resemble the vampire, like we said earlier, reach far back as like ancient Greece and Egypt and Samaria and Babylonian, you know, times where people were attacked in their sleep and drained of blood, right? Like your normal stereotypical MO of a vampire.
Yeah, yeah, pretty straightforward on that one.
So one of the more famous vampire cases involves, and I'm going to go ahead and say it right now, it's clearly Russian names. So...
yeah,
we're gonna give it the old college try. You know what I mean? It involves the bodies of Milos Sakhar and Peter Blagojevich.
Yeah, close enough, I would imagine.
Blagojevich.
Let's just call him Blago.
Right, from Serbia. Oh wait, that's not Russian. Whoops.
Well,
that's Serbia. I don't know where that is, but
it's Russian. It's Russian.
All right. I mean, at the age of 62. Blagojevich was said to have died, right? He passed on. Right. But apparently he had come back to life and was asking his son for food, which God knows what kind of food that was, right? What he meant by food. It could have been a lot of things, you know? The son refused, was like, no, you're supposed to be dead. Yeah, I'm not going to give you shit.
Imagine they freaked out.
Right. And then the son was found to be dead the following day. Right,
which and that is the MO for vampires back in the day
of killing family.
It's always family first.
Family first, right? And Peter had also said to return and attack some of the neighbors too, because they were found to be draining their blood. right?
Yeah, yeah, that's vampires, mm-hmm. 101.
Family,
yeah, neighbors. Family, then spread out.
Right, starting at with the neighbors. So another quick story, though, is that like an ex-soldier, he had turned into a farmer, right?
Yeah.
His name was also Milos, which is probably like John over there. It seems like a popular name. After he had allegedly been attacked by a vampire a bunch of years before he had died, he was like hanging on a farm, you know what I mean?
Yep.
He died, and then soon after, people in the surrounding area began to die as well. And it was believed that Milos had come back from the grave to kill and drink blood because of the vampire encounter that he had all those years before. Now, it's an older story, like a sitting virus.
Yeah,
right. And as far as an old story goes, again, there's no way to say, did he get bit? You know what I'm saying?
Was he scratched? Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to tell. You know what I mean? But it's a cool story.
Yeah. Back then, too. I mean, like, yeah. I lost my train of thought. Like, I don't know if I didn't see anything where it was like, if you were bit, you immediately became a vampire. It could have been that he got bit.
Yeah.
They just didn't drain him of all his blood. And then when he finally kicked the bucket.
Ah.
Yeah. Kind of like the
he turned into a
zombie kind of situation.
Oh, okay. Like he didn't turn bit. Into one until after he died.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. That's where I was going with that. It just took a really long time to get there.
Right. I was there. coming back to more like modern times, though.
Yeah.
In 1984, right, we're going back a year after I was born. So fuck, the story's as old as I am. 9 people are found dead in the French Quarter of New Orleans, which of course they were. Right. Because I think
why not?
You think of vampires in America, first place you go is New Orleans. It is.
Yeah. Well, New Orleans got a dark history, anyways.
It does.
Got a lot of the.
And I think this is probably why.
And all that down there.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. And I think that's probably where a lot of these stories come from, too. You know what I mean? Especially if it's the French Quarter. You know, it's clearly a story.
I mean, Quarter is like the most famous part of it.
Right. I mean, but honestly, I'm saying, like, if the stories were taking place in Europe, it's only reasonable to think that the stories came along with them when they came over to America.
Oh, you know, definitely.
Those old wives' tale stories, you know? And so the pair and these people had their throats torn out.
I see. Night. I did not, when we were researching, I did not see anything.
Yeah.
Their throats getting ripped out, though. Man, yeah. That's insane.
Yeah. The throats are torn completely out. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like your fancy, you know, 2 puncture marks on the neck.
No, it was
hoity toity.
Animalistic.
Fucking vampire.
Yeah.
You know, this was like savage, like a beast, like an animal. You know what I mean? Like a predator, I think, is a good way of
putting an animal it. Wouldn't attack 9 different people and rip their throats out.
They wouldn't kill in the same way, don't think. And then if it was just like an animal, I mean, somebody would, 9 out of the 9 people, somebody would have got out of there, I think.
Yeah.
You can't chase all 9 people at once.
Yeah, there's no way one animal killed that many people.
You're just like going different directions. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's not chasing each one of you down.
You got a 1 in 9 chance of getting out of there. Or 8 out of 9 chance. He's only gonna go after one person. Right?
Yeah.
And so like paramedics showed up and were immediately just like perplexed, dude. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Because all these people had their throats torn out. But there was no blood found on the site, on the crime scene. No blood at all.
Yeah, that's a strange occurrence. Like, that's either they were killed somewhere else and dropped off.
Right.
Yeah, or...
Yeah, I mean, it was as if someone or something had sucked all the blood from the victims as they were, like, locked onto the throat, sucked all the blood out, and then, you know... When they released it, ripped the throat out with it. You know what I mean?
Could be like to hide the puncture wounds, drain them all.
Maybe a way of covering up your tracks. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, so it was believed by not. I mean, of course, probably not the police, you know what I mean?
No,
but by not. More people like you and me, that it was the work of a rogue vampire.
Which would make sense, I think. Like in terms, like especially down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're super. There's a lot of people who are superstitious. All that. You see something like that happening.
Yeah, you're gonna immediately lock it in.
A vampire went on a bender.
And you're in the place where a lot of those stories take place. A lot of like Interview with a Vampire was in New Orleans. A good part of it.
Oh really? I thought it was set in New York.
No, it's New Orleans.
Never mind.
Yeah, never mind. It was New Orleans. Part of it was. And I'm going back, you know what I mean, in a movie I've only seen a couple times, but I think it started there and then it ended there.
Oh.
Okay. No. That's not true. It might be. I don't know. Maybe.
It's been so long ago. I think it might be true. I'm just going to take your word for it.
Yeah, I think it might be true. But like again, it's kind of built into the culture of that area.
Yeah, the people like down said, there like the are hoodoo, definitely more the voodoo, prone.
The spirits, you know what I mean?
And they're vampires. Definitely more prone to believe in the supernatural. Than...
Right. Absolutely. And it just fits, the vampire fits right in with that.
Oh, easily.
You know what I mean?
All the other things that is happening down there.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't even surprise some people if vampires were in there too.
I wonder if they survived Katrina.
Probably.
Hmm.
Just getting your casket float along.
Yeah, can they swim?
Well, you know, if you want to go back to the other one, no. The last episode.
Yeah, right, they can't. Oh, they can't cross running water.
Yeah. And Katrina would have been a fuck ton of running water.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, not to belittle what happened, but I'm just curious what happened to the vampires. Nothing, I guess.
Right. they were perfectly fine.
I guess they're doing just fine.
Not like they need to breathe. Just hang out in your crypt.
Yeah, that's true. Do they breathe? I don't know.
I would imagine not. Why would the dead need to breathe?
But they're undead.
Yeah, dead's dead in my opinion.
Hmm. Maybe I don't have a firm grasp on the term undead. maybe that's possible.
Well, I think that undead refers to a lot of shit. So,
yeah.
Vampires are supposed to be like the top tier of the undead.
Yeah, because then you got your zombies. That are considered undead.
Your zombies and your ghouls and I think you might certain like spectral creatures too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like wraiths and stuff are like undead.
Liches and shit like that.
Right.
Now you may be asking yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
How the hell do I either kill, detect, or just plain get away from a vampire?
I was asking myself that.
Yeah. Good thing I brought it up then. There's a bunch of different ways this can be achieved.
Uh-huh.
All right. Some of the more popular ones, right, is like either a wooden stake through the heart.
Right.
And this creature, like, once and for all. That's
the old Van Helsing
approach. Exactly. And that goes back even as far back as vampire stories go.
The stake to the heart thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, some of the other ones, they're setting him on fire, which I think would work for practically anything, to be honest with you.
Right. Yeah.
Along with cutting his head off. Like, I think those are two pretty surefire ways to kill fucking anything.
Right.
But, you know, let's say physical violence, it's not really your forte. Right.
Right.
But you still want to go about fighting off the vampires, which I don't know why you'd be a pacifist. Taking on vampires
because it's probably the smarter thing to do.
True.
If these things are ripping throats and shit true. Out, man, you know, I don't
something,
know if I'm like,
yeah, you gotta have something
fucking, let's go like hand to hand combat. Like that's fucking ridiculous. Doesn't seem like a good idea. And like any other stories you hear, they're always like
tens of times stronger than
that. Fucking super strong, super fast.
Yeah,
I don't know,
have magic in certain
they can fucking
stories
hypnotize you and shit. You know what I mean? Like, fuck, but no.
You could use religious objects to get the same effect. Some of the most commonly used ones, of course, are the crucifix.
Right, which is super famous.
Yeah.
In all the in anything that you watch, the cross is the way to go.
All right. Either a rosary or holy water. All work
kind of like an exorcism.
Yeah. They all work essentially the same. The holy water is supposed to burn their skin.
Right. Because they're like evil creatures, right?
Yeah, they're the unholy, so.
Right.
And, you know, there's some places in Europe, dude, there are stories where you spray mustard seeds on your roof. Right.
And where does he get this shit? Like, where do you even get that idea? Like, you know what I heard? You put a fucking mustard seeds in your roof and keep these fuckers out. Yeah. How do you...
Well,
was it just like a last-ditch effort to keep them away? Like you just tried, it was like the last thing you tried and it worked?
It stems from like that whole vampires have a compulsive need to count. So anything you could do... Is that why they're
called like Count Dracula? Is that why that... Oh, all right.
No.
I'm just curious. Okay.
No, it's... All this is essentially to keep them away till sunlight.
Gotcha.
Right. Some of the, you know... Things like garlic, a branch of hawthorn, or a wild rose.
Okay.
Are said to either harm them or at the very least deter them.
Garlic is another staple.
Very staple. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a staple.
You put garlic around your neck or something and it'll keep them away.
Exactly. Now, most vampires are said to only come out at night.
Right.
To hunt. Right.
Right
now, there's a couple where, you know, if you want to go into the more modern,
I don't,
yeah, day walkers and sparklies and whatnot,
yeah, yeah, what a bunch of bullshit,
yeah, I didn't like that.
It's a term like, for him. Oh boy,
I'd rather him just be able to walk in the light, yeah.
No.
Have it that way.
That makes him not a vampire.
Yeah. But, you know, honestly, dude, it's impossible to know whether or not vampires truly existed.
Right.
Now, I know there was this one, I believe he was a mathematician, back in, I think, the 80s or the 90s. He did the math on this. And he said, if there was one vampire, just one, in like 1700, and he had to eat, he had to kill one person, I think he said a week. And that one person turned into a vampire. By now, there wouldn't be any humans left on planet.
Well, you're assuming that he's just trying to change them over. What if he kills them?
Exactly. Well, his assumption was that when you are attacked by a vampire, you turn into a vampire.
That's
kind of like when you get bit by a zombie, you turn into a zombie.
That's not a good assumption.
No. But still... It would make sense that, like...
What if they rip your fucking head off and drink your blood?
True.
Then what?
Yeah, he didn't go into the... What happens if they rip my arms off?
This whole thing's full of holes.
Use me like a fountain.
These but fucking
I'll just... I'm putting it out there.
They like know everything.
Yeah. Well, the math would be...
Yeah. Right. Like 9 billion...
Exponential growth.
Yeah, like 9 billion vampires.
Yeah. I just thought I'd throw that in there. I thought that was kind of an interesting
thing
you put out there. But, you know, as long as we don't know if they ever existed or not, you also impossible to tell whether or not any of these methods actually worked. Unless, of course, you came across a vampire and you just happened to have all the shit on hand.
Yeah. I mean, unless you were like a hunter. Like you hunted them down, which I think was a real profession.
Probably
at one point, like kind of like our witch episode.
Yeah, I thought there was
where people were
like vampire hunters.
Yeah, they would just falsely accuse people of being a fucking vampire. Dig up the fucking bodies.
The poor albino man.
Yeah, like we said in the last episode, like they're digging up bodies and shit, and
just staking them and then walking off with a bag full of coins.
Yeah,
but then you know, unless you if you happen to have a bag of rice,
yeah,
and you run into a vampire. Throw it on the ground. Let's see if he's compelled to count them all or not. Yeah.
You better fucking hope that he is.
If not, he's just going to look at you and get even more mad.
Yeah. Look at the fucking mess you made.
You're stereotyping me really in 2022?
Yeah. Who's going to clean up this mess?
Yeah. You better hope there's rice absorbs all that blood I'm about to
right
about to.
You could just also just expose them to sunlight.
Yeah, I mean, especially nowadays, I mean, you got UV lamps do the same thing.
Yeah, nowadays you could do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you again, you see in the movies, them doing that.
Yeah, especially.
And then one of them, he had like a UV grenade, which was pretty
cool. Yeah, it was
Blade 3.
Blade 3, yeah.
Or 2.
I don't remember.
But no, it was
still Blade a cool 2 idea. Because the sun or whatever was like a plague on the vampires.
Mm-hmm.
Like every vampire he bit turned into one of him.
Right. Yeah. That was the tentacle mouth.
I like that one, dude, because it had that scene of like they're chased down by dozens of them.
Yeah.
Kind of reminded me like the Xenomorphs.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I do notice, I do remember that, because it's the dude that's in, he was in, not Reservoir Dogs, the one, the fucking Irish guys, and they shot everybody, the brothers,
Boondock Saints.
Yeah, because he was in Boondock Saints, and he was in Walking Dead, Daryl, I think
it
was.
Oh, yeah, what the hell's his name?
But he was in, because I remember it,
he was wearing
a Hellboy Skid. Shirt. Yeah.
His name was Skid in that movie.
Yeah, he was wearing a Hellboy shirt, dude. I was like, fuck yeah, because I have that shirt. It's
honestly, dude, I've watched that movie a dozen times. BPRD. I don't remember him wearing a Hellboy shirt.
Yeah, it was awesome. Because
I
was like, wow, I have that same exact shirt, and now I can relate to this guy that is a really awesome inventor and kills vampires.
There you go.
Somehow I'm relating to this man.
If this was ever real. Me and him would hang out in real
life. That's all I got. It's all I got.
But I do believe that is the vampires wrapped up.
Yeah. I mean, there's still so much on this.
I mean, yeah, dude. I mean, we barely touched.
Dude, we're not scratching the surface. And I mean, we paraphrased a lot of this.
Like a chunk of the books, a lot of the plays, a lot of movies.
I mean, just some of the lore by itself.
Yeah, I mean,
there's volumes of it. There's volumes of it.
Yeah, depending on the writer who you're looking up.
I think also the culture, too.
That, too. Like, you know. Dude, like I said, like, Africa has their own versions.
Yep.
The Asian continent has their own versions.
Europeans, of course.
Yep, Europeans. I want to say the Native Americans had their own. I'm sure they did.
They had something pretty similar.
Much of everything.
Yeah, they had something similar, I'm sure. But there's still episodes and episodes and episodes you could do on this. I mean, how many?
Yeah, definitely.
Fucking books are there? You know what I mean?
Hundreds,
thousands and thousands, thousands and thousands of them, you know? All right, everybody. Well, I guess that's part two. Thanks for joining us. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Gamma Ray Podcast. Watch us on YouTube.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm starting to get it. It's sunk in now. It's sunk in now.
I haven't had to remind you in a while.
Yeah, we're. I'm happy to say that we're up to date on all the videos.
Yeah, finally.
On all episodes. Took me a long ass time because you're
having some trouble with
fucking
them.
Forever to upload anything to YouTube, especially video. Takes 1,000 fucking years. But again, just follow us on all those social medias. And we'll see you next time.
See you later.
Bye, y'all.